You would go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to go back to verses 1, 2, and 3 this morning as we think about the goodness of God. 2 Continue examining this text from the idea of renewing now our commitment to the Word. We had talked about renewing a commitment to prayer, renewing a commitment to holiness, and now renewing a commitment to the Word. Father, we praise you today for the privilege, God, that you've given us to assemble together. Father, we don't for one moment take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, for the strength, Lord, of our bodies. God, we thank you, O Lord, for your provision. We thank you, O God, that, Lord, you have clothed us in our right minds. We thank you, Lord, that we have hearts that are bent, God, on worshiping and adoring you. We thank you, Lord, for every praise that has been lifted up, Lord, to exalt your great and holy name. As we sang about your great name, we declare, Lord, that there is no name like, God, your name. We declare that, God, that your name is a strong tower that the righteous can run to and find safety and shelter. For, Lord God, you are our salvation. Father, we thank you, O God, that your name is holy forever. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, in you, Father, we find holiness. And as your word has declared, that we are to be holy just as you are holy. And we thank you, Father, that, Lord, you and you alone have made it possible for us to be holy because you have filled us with your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. And now we ask, Father, that, Lord, as we begin to go to your word, that you, God, will continue to speak, Lord, to our hearts as you equip us, make us ready, Lord, to be valiant warriors on the battlefield for your kingdom. We pray today in the name of Jesus Christ for, Lord, your anointing, Lord, upon my tongue, that you anoint it with grace and with truth. We pray, Lord, for your anointing, God, upon our ears, that we will be able to hear, God, what your spirit has to say. And, Lord God, we pray, Lord, for your anointing upon our hearts, that we will receive your word, put it, Lord, into practice, and watch you do and perform upon your word just as you said you would do and perform. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. From 1 Peter chapter 2. The words read, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Renewing a commitment to the Word. The last time we had a chance to share, we talked about malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, slander, and getting these out of our lives. And the context of our discussion was around the idea that we have been called to make disciples of all nations. And that if the truth be known, we cannot make what we are not. So you and I need to make sure that we are committed followers of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what we will reproduce is what we are. And so we were warned, we were cautioned that these things that exist can set up in our lives, and they can cause us then to reproduce the wrong things. And we've been called to reproduce people who are committed followers of Jesus Christ, people who hold out for the kingdom, people who will lay down their lives for the cause and person of who Jesus is. So we were challenged that if we have been given this commission, we've got to make sure that we lead ourselves well before trying to lead somebody else. Otherwise, what we're going to do is we're going to make a mess of somebody else's life. It won't just be us that's messed up. It'll be those who are following us that are messed up. And we'll be looking at them talking about what's wrong with them. Well, they following you. That's the problem. Amen. And so you and I are charged with this idea of becoming imitators of Christ so that those who follow us will be imitating Christ as well. These words, malice, deceit, envy, hypocrisy, and slander, these are all things that actually inhibit or hinder growth in the life of the believer, because they are a product or an output of what is in the heart. See, when Jesus was addressing the Pharisees about religious activity that they thought would make them clean, he explained to them that it is not what's on the outside that makes a person dirty. It's what comes out of that person that makes them unclean. In Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, Jesus says these words: what comes out of a person is what defiles them. So Jesus uses that word defiles, or the translators translated as defiles is the same thing as unclean. He said, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then he has this malice and envy and all of this deceit listed with all of these other things just to give us an idea of how bad this is. He says sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. You say, well, we would expect that from people of the world. But remember, Peter is not writing to people of the world. Peter is writing to believers who have been scattered. And he's trying to remind them of who they are. Because once you mess around and you get in the company of other people, you can allow their influence to overtake you. Peter is saying, remember, you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are to leave your old way of life and you are to put on a new way of life. And Jesus in his words remind us that these things that we see being manifest, being output, they are a byproduct. They are an output of what's going on in our heart. Now, that's interesting because you and I can't see actually what's happening in a person's heart. But what they do reveals to us what's going on in their hearts. In fact, it was God's desire that when people come to him, that he reshapes their heart. He takes their heart of stone and he gives them a heart that is receptive to his ways, that is receptive to his approach to life, that is acceptive to his view and his perspective, and they take that then and allow it to be manifest in their lives. In the first chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul includes these same behaviors among the output of people who do not consider it important to retain the knowledge of God. He said, such an attitude, when people don't take the word of God serious, that attitude then results in them being filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. He says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. He said they are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. In fact, they invent ways of doing evil. Paul includes all of this. You see the same words that Peter used about hypocrisy and deceit and envy and slander. Paul is using this to describe people whom he say God has handed over to a depraved mind. That we allow such behavior, such attitudes to remain in our hearts, that what they produce are things that are not conducive to a child of God. Brothers and sisters, this behavior, which is a product of the sinful nature, is not becoming of a born-again believer. This is not the output that the Father expects from his children. When Jesus said, make disciples, he wasn't talking about make people that are full of malice, make people that are full of deceit, make people that are full of hypocrisy, envy, and slander. That's not what he was talking about making. No, he said that I want people who are going to live and allow the Spirit to produce fruit in their lives. That's what is after. And the only way that you and I can get there is by renewing our commitment to prayer, calling on God with a sincere heart, acknowledging that without him, we can't make it. Renewing our commitment to holiness, recognizing that although we're free to do whatever we want to do, everything ain't good for us. Amen? He said, we've been set free. He says, but don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. That if you allow your freedom to take you down a road you ought not be going, you're going to pay the price for that. So he says, don't use your freedom to do whatever you want to do. Use your freedom to honor God and to glorify God and to live holy because he has called you to be holy. Then he says that the only way we can do this is by renewing our commitment to his word. Because it is his word that brings about change and produces growth in our lives. I love the message from last week when Pastor Savage talked about war and the fact that, brothers and sisters, you and I are in a war. There is an internal war that is happening because Paul said it well. When I would do right, evil is always present. And I have to keep reminding myself, just because I feel like doing it, don't mean that I should do it, nor that I can do it. I must choose to honor God with my mind. I must choose to honor God with my tongue. I must choose to honor God with my eyes. I must choose to honor God with my mouth. I must choose to honor God with my hands. I must choose. Because if I don't choose to honor God, I am saying to the devil, I am your instrument for wickedness, instead of saying to God, I'm your instrument for righteousness. And when you and I allow the devil to move in and begin to use the stuff inside of us against us, it prohibits the kind of growth that God desires in our lives. See, the reason Peter says get rid of this stuff, this stuff of the heart, malice, deceit, slander, envy, get rid of it. The reason he said get rid of it is because it prevents growth in your life. And it is the tool that the devil uses to cause all kinds of havoc in your life and prevent your life from being a blessing to other folks. Don't you know that God wants to use you to be a blessing in somebody's life? He wants to use your tongue to speak life. Amen? He wants to use you. He wants to use your resources to be a blessing in somebody else's life. But when we are allowing ourselves to be used by the enemy, he is preventing us from doing what God desires us to do. I've had this terrible problem in my yard. And it has existed for a long time. I've had some visitors that will not leave. They call them moles. They're little ugly critters. And they do destruction by burrowing tunnels within your yard. And all you see are little mounds of dirt where they have been. Problem is, wherever they have been, now my grass won't grow. Wherever they have been, now it's a soft spot. And if it rains and I walk across that spot, all of a sudden I'm going to sink in and be ankle deep in mud, all because I would not take care of the problem the first time I saw evidence that it was there. I looked at it like, well, they'll go away. No, that's not the way it works. They had found a place, apparently, where they had plenty of food to eat. And because I did not go and treat my yard and get rid of their food source, they decided to stay. And it wasn't just one. Apparently, they multiplied. They sending out invitations. We found a new place of someone who will ignore our presence and will allow us to do whatever we want to do. And so why don't you come over and join the party? And as a result, now, my lawn, not just the back in the front. Oh, it's going to get worse. Not just the back in the front, even the side is eaten up with moles. All because I would not get rid of them and prevent them from doing greater destruction. So now they have hindered growth and caused erosion in other places. The same thing happens with these sins and these conditions of the heart. When you and I don't deal properly with them, what they do is say to the enemy of your soul, we've got a live one over here. We got somebody that don't know how to control their mouths. And so then he will start using your tongue to slander others. We got somebody over here that don't appreciate when God blessing a fellow brother or sister. And so he'll fill you up with envy. And when you see God blessing them, all of a sudden you hating on them because God is doing something for them, not realizing that if you give thanks for how God has blessed them, that you are opening up the door for your opportunity to be blessed just like they were, because God is no favorer. Amen? But when we allow this stuff to hang around in our hearts, We then give the devil an opportunity to take advantage of us. We're not making war. We're getting beat down. We are being run over, and we're not making the kind of disciples that Jesus wants us to make. For his desire is that we make the kind of disciples that are able to stand against the enemy and to take ground against the enemy, to rescue and redeem mankind from their lost place and show them the right way to go. And there's a responsibility that you and I have. We've got to be actively participating in this stuff being removed from our hearts. I wish I could tell you that when I prayed about my moles leaving, that they left. I prayed hard. God, please get rid of these pesky little fellas that don't belong here. All that praying did not do what I wanted it to do. Amen. Faith without works is dead. After you have prayed, get up off your knees and go do something. Amen. Just like praying for these things to leave your life without you being actively involved in them will not yield anything but frustration. There is only one thing that will take care of these issues in your life, and that is allowing your heart to be renewed by the word of God so that the Spirit of God can work up on you and produce life. If you don't allow the word of God to work in you, what the Spirit of God wants to do for you, then all of your prayers to get rid of these things will be null and void. Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. He uses a great analogy that helps us understand that babies have an understanding that when they are hungry, that they need to cry for milk. That if they are not fed milk because they don't have teeth yet to eat real food, that if they are not fed, they will not grow. They will be malnourished. And Peter is saying to us, like newborn babies, we need to crave the pure spiritual milk of God. And this word milk really refers to the word of God. Because if you go back to the previous chapter, he talked about it was the word of God that brought you life. It is the word of God that introduced you to this born again experience. And if you want to grow, it's got to be by the word of God. He says, so you and I need to crave, we need to long for, we need to desire the unadulterated word of God. That we need to have a heart that regularly seeks after the word of God. That you and I need to be pursuing on a regular basis the word of God. So now, like I said, the word of God is the thing that brings about change in your life. For God said that his word never ever what? Returns to him empty or void, but it always accomplishes the purposes or the tasks for which he sent it. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like the person who builds their house on a strong, firm foundation. When the storms of life come, that your home, your house will not be destroyed because you have built it on the only thing that is stable, unchanging, and eternal. It is the word of God that you and I need to learn how to feed upon, how we need to learn how to get it incorporated in our lives. And brothers and sisters, this takes discipline. When you start talking about the war, it is not only worship that you go into war with, but you've got to go into war to get the word of God, because there are so many things that come at you to distract you from getting that which you need, which is most helpful for you. In fact, the devil knows that if he can keep you from feeding on the word of God, he's got you right where he wants you to be. Because the only thing that the devil can't handle is the word of God used in the name of Jesus Christ to stop him in his tracks. If you're just going around throwing nice little sayings at him, he will laugh. Because nice little sayings have no power. And you can attach the name of Jesus to your nice little saying, but if Jesus didn't say it, Jesus can't endorse it, and Jesus can't back it up. And you and I need the word of God so that we can stand against the enemy and be able to stand and fight him toe to toe, knowing that Jesus is backing us up because of what his word has declared. Can I tell you that we have nothing in us that can deal with this ancient serpent called the devil? He's been around forever. And you and I don't have the wherewithal to be able to match wits with him. We do not have the wherewithal to be able to match his power. The only thing that you and I have that will be able to keep him at bay is the word of God, our obedience to the word of God, and our trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Submit to God. The devil will flee. But if you don't submit to God and stand on his word, the devil will beat you down. Amen. And we've been called to make men and women disciples who are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But the only way we do that is through the word of God. So you and I need to have a renewed commitment to the daily, regular reading, studying, and living of God's word. Well, Peter says, crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you grow up in your salvation. He's saying that you and I were not intended to stay bathed in Christ. Amen. Amen. We acknowledge new believers. You are a babe in Christ, but you were not intended to remain a babe in Christ. You are intended to grow in your salvation. There are lots of implications in that, which says that as you and I grow in our salvation, we are gaining greater benefits from our salvation. I always love it, man, when young people talk about, I can't wait until I grow up or get grown. That's what they say. I can't wait till I get grown. They have this false idea that when they get grown, they're going to be free to do whatever they want to do. It's a misnomer that you better wait till you get grown. My children like to say, we are adulting now. And what they discovered is that adulting has a price attached to it. Like, no, man, it's more than being able, I thought, to do what you realize you can't do half the stuff you want to do now that you've grown. And so they have this idea that growing up means I can do whatever I want to do, only to discover that being grown means now I have responsibility. Being grown means now that there's an expectation on me. Being grown means now that someone else should be able to rely on me, should be able to count on me. Being grown now means that, oh, wait a minute, someone else can put their trust in me, and I should be able to follow through and carry out whatever that expectation may be, as long as it is realistic. Being grown carries with it different implications from being able to do what I want to do. See, growing up in your salvation helps you to understand, I can't do what I want to do. Growing up in your salvation helps you understand you have a responsibility to live holy before God. And the only way that you can do that is if you incorporate certain practices into your life. That is why when you and I move to praying three times a day, some of us, I'm not talking about all of you, some of us discovered that, man, this thing, I'm going to say it, it's hard. I didn't want to say it, but this thing hard, man. And the same thing becomes when you talk about reading your word regularly and consistently, you discover that, man, this requires some discipline. But the reward and the benefit, oh my, the payback, oh my, you can't find anything to compare it to. That when you learn to spend time praying to God regularly, saying to him, Lord God, you're the only help that I have. When you come to understand that you've got good people around you, but you know that people fail you, and you start praying for those people that you are trusting in, because you know that, boy, if you don't pray for them, they might drop the ball. You learn how to put all of your hope and your trust in God, so that now you're no longer putting your hope in people. You're understanding that God is able to use whoever he wants to use to do whatever he wants to do for your benefit and for the benefit of others. It changes the outcome. Now, all of a sudden, you're not stressing as much as you used to stress, because you are casting all of your cares upon the Father. And now you're not living by anxiety, because now you're saying, God, I'm relying upon you. And his peace comes to rest upon you, even when you don't know the answers. If you are a controller and you've always got to be in control, when you start praying to God, you start acknowledging, I ain't got no control. I can't control nothing. I can't control people. And all of a sudden you start resting in him, because he is the perfect controller. And then his peace starts to rest upon you. Likewise, when you start filling yourself with his word, he starts by his spirit bringing things to your remembrance when you need them most. Some things that you didn't realize you would need, he'll reach in and bring it back to you at an opportune time, just so that you have an answer to the problem that is before you. But if you never take the time to get into his word and allow his word to get into you, you will never know the full benefit that his word has to offer. Listen, the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The reason you and I have got to be in the word is because our hearts are deceptive above all things. You and I might think that we're doing okay, but when we open up God's word, he says that his word, we are laid bare before him, and he begins to examine our hearts. He begins to examine our minds. He begins to examine our motives, and he will expose to us those things that are in the way of our growth. He will begin to reveal those things that are hindering our progress in our walk with him. When we lay ourselves bare before him in his word, he begins to strengthen us when we are weak. He begins to show us what we need. When we open up ourselves to his word, he gives us wisdom to be able to address issues and situations that arise in our lives, because it's only in the word of God is the heart and the mind of God revealed, so that those who are willing to go and invest time, spending time, studying, reading his word, and hiding it in our hearts, we will be the ones who will not allow sin to carry us away. And he says, as you and I grow up in him, watch this. If growing up means that we get greater responsibility, as we grow up in our salvation, he'll start to look at us and say, I can trust you. Hallelujah. He'll start calling you in the midnight hour saying, listen, I need you to do such and so for me, because one of my other children have a need and they ain't quite grown yet. And I know that I can send you over to take care of the need without you condemning them.
without you carrying malice, without you having slander, without you operating with deceit. I know that you have a pure heart, that all your desire is to watch me work in the lives of people so that they can be set free and redeemed, so that the power of the devil no longer reigns over them. And he'll talk to you and say, I got something for you. Will you go do this for me? And because we've been growing up, we learn how to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, we'll do it. We'll be like, you remember Ananias? You remember that guy? He was in Damascus when Saul was on his way there to destroy all of the Christians, the believers, and he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he was blind, and the Spirit of God went to a man called Ananias and said, Ananias, I need you to go over and pray for Brother Saul. Why? Because Ananias is grown enough in his salvation to be able to hear the voice of God and walk in obedience to God, because he trusts God enough to know that God would not take him to a place where he did not want him to be. And he sends Ananias over to lay hands on Saul. And when he lays hands on Saul and begins to pray for Saul, it says that scales fell from Saul's eyes. And the man who was blind now could see. The man who did not have the Spirit of God prior to Ananias going over, all of a sudden, because Ananias in obedience went and laid his hands up on Saul, now the man who did not have the Spirit of God is now filled with the Spirit of God. All because Ananias had grown up in his faith and God was able to use him to be a blessing in Saul's life. And while Ananias did not know what God was going to do with Saul, he was just obedient. And lo and behold, when Saul could see, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, now we've got an apostle who is able to write and listen and hear and go do the work of God, exposing the devil for who he is. Glory to God. All because he had grown up. And brothers and sisters, you and I cannot grow up without the Word of God. If you are not eating the Word of God, you are malnourished. You're malnourished. You don't know what God is trying to say for you to do. And you don't know how God wants you to respond. You don't know God's heart. And so you and I must renew a commitment to God's Word. It's not just a commitment to prayer. It's a commitment to holiness, and it's a commitment to the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God, when you know the Word of God, it helps you pray effectively. Amen. Because you're no longer, when you know the Word of God, you're no longer praying your idea of God's will. Now you're praying how you know God wants to operate in people's lives. You're praying because you understand the language of the Spirit of God, who operates on the Word of God, so that when you pray, God moves. But if you don't know the Word of God, you're just praying some good ideas. And it is without faith. And any prayer that is offered in faith will not yield the desired result. And so you and I must renew our commitment to the Word. So if you're not already doing this, this is what I want to ask you to start doing. Because you know we are still praying three times a day. You didn't get off the hook. We're still praying three times. Remember, we're trying to make that a lifestyle. Some folks have claimed that, you know, in order for a habit to occur, you need to do it at least 21 days. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be. But all I know is that you and I need to make a commitment of saying that we pray three times a day. Now, what I love for you to do is add to that is when you pray, You also read 3 times a day. Read 3 times a day. When you go to pray, you're reading 3 times a day. If it helps you, there are 150 psalms in the Bible. You can actually take a psalm a day or 3 psalms a day and add it to your time of prayer. Or you can take the same psalm and read it each time that day for your prayer time. You can take the same one, meditating on different portions of that psalm as you add it to your time of prayer. You can take Psalm 1 because it talks about blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can add that to your prayer. Or you can take Psalm 23. You know that favorite one of ours, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Or you can take Psalm 91. You know that other psalm that you love. But I want to encourage you, don't just go to your favorite pet psalms. 66 books that are full of the revelation of who God is, that you begin to take and incorporating it into your time of prayer 3 times a day, so that you are eating of his word, feasting on it in the same way you do your physical food. Because you realize that without his word, you will not grow. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you're not reading the word. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to elevate. We need to amp up. If we're in war, don't keep doing what you've always been doing, because the enemy continues to change his strategy, and he continues to bring in additional resources so that he can keep you from progressing in the kingdom. So if we are at war, and we are, then we need to change our approach so that we can continue to experience victory and not defeat. The way we do that, the word of God, is we start adding it to our daily diet 3 times a day. I want to add one other thing to that, that you also identify a scripture that you will begin to meditate on for the day. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Again, you can do that through the Psalms, or you can do that through various other means. Just take a scripture that says that this week, this is the scripture that I am committing to memory and meditating on. You are meditating on that until you can spit it back out at a moment's notice. And I always encourage you to remember the address to which it is found. Amen. Remember the address. Because if you and I can grow in the word of God, grow in our salvation, as God is able to use us for his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word that is alive and active, your word that is sharp, life-giving, perfect, eternal, your word that has healing virtue, your word that is able to break the chains of the enemy. We thank you, Father, for your word that is able, Lord, to renew the way that we think. And it allows us to think your thoughts after you. We know, God, that your word is higher. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So that, Father, if we can connect with your thoughts through your word, you will elevate our thinking. So we pray that, Father, by the power of your spirit, that you would grant us the discipline, the wisdom, insight, the practical application to feed on your word, not just be readers of your word, not just be hearers of your word, but to be practitioners of your word, to be doers of your word, so that, God, your word has a place to work itself out in our lives and in the lives of those that you are drawing near to yourself. We thank you today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen.